Known your pastor for actually 25 years. I know we're all so young, but anyway, I was thinking it's odd. I only get to preach at your church when he's out of the country. It's kind of strange. I'm not sure there's something with that, but anyway, we're so glad to be here. Yeah, when you said Brother Dennis is going to teach, I thought, okay. Well, I won't say anything, and I'll just be nice and keep my notes to myself, and I'll use them. Well, I won't use them somewhere, but that's okay. Well, I thought, well, maybe pastor hadn't said anything, and so. I wasn't certainly going to say anything and usurp any authority. But anyway, you know, hopefully you have got a book in the Bible that you really like. In my very first book, I got to teach, we got saved in 1984. And shortly after that, the pastor asked me if I wanted to teach a Sunday school class. And of course, I said yes, and didn't know what I was getting myself into, but I taught the book of Joshua, and I really liked that. But we're not going there today. No. And so then, but I've got so many books I like, but here about a few months ago at our church, I was teaching through 1 John. We go to Yaquinta Bay Baptist Church down in Newport, Oregon with Brother Goodrick. And so I want you to turn with me to 1 John. I want to read this, and you know, it's got so much information in here, and you know, as a Christian, what we need, and we've got it today. Brother Dennis and his wife mentioned when we walked in, so even though we hadn't seen him for, I don't remember we were here last, at least like 3 years ago. How long? How many? Three. Okay. Time flies, you know. It really flies. It's September. And I told church, I started services off at church there, and I because everybody was talking about things, I said it was like, and this is last week, I think it was like 135 or 140 days till Christmas, so get your mind off everything else going on. Yeah, grandkids. Anyway, but, you know, she said, it's like we've known you for years, it's the fellowship, and that's what the Bible talks about here. We're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 1 about the fellowship, and it's interesting, when we met Pastor Bob and Lisa, I'll call them Bob and Lisa, but they came down to the coast, and we had lunch at the Side Door Cafe about a month ago, or maybe 6 weeks ago, when he asked me to fill in for him when he was going on his trip, and I thought that was an exciting time. They're going to be over in Australia. I like their pictures they have of the Kango hot dogs and things like the kangaroo hot dogs, but anyway, you know, we hadn't seen each other for, I don't know, a year. Everybody gets busy. But the fellowship was sweet. It just kind of fell back into place because it's based on what the Word of God has to say. So I'm going to have you stand, if you would. I'm going to read 1 John chapter 1. It's not very long. And then we're going to get into we're going to take it apart and look at it because I think it's very exciting. I did not know. What time do you end for the other service? A few minutes before 11?
Yes.
Okay. All right. No? Okay, well, 2 o'clock. Well, our pastor, anybody hear Brother Goodrick preach before? He's a long-winder. Yeah, he's a long-winder. And sometimes I'm like, Darren, you're done. I'm sitting in the front row. But anyway, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, the word of life. And this life was manifest, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Which we have seen, which we have declared unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, by the way, this is a verse that I'm sure we all go to all the time. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Father, we ask you to bless us this day. I pray you'll bless us and you'll bless the classes here. Bless Pastor Bob and his wife Lisa and the cooks as they're in Australia. Probably another day ahead of us now. They already had their Sunday morning service. We pray it works out for them, for the kids to go on deputation and become missionaries there. And we thank you for what they're doing over there. We pray you'll bless our services. Bless them back in Newport. And thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for the shed blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The overview of the apostle begins the epistle dealing with fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the only way you get fellowship. You know, the real thing about this, you've got to have a personal commitment. Now, I've been married. We've married a long time, long time. And we get personal, 41 years, we get personal fellowship with each other. You know, somebody that comes in, walks in off the street, they may not get the personal fellowship because they're not married to that person. Listen, you need to be married, if you can use that term, to Jesus Christ. You know, he's made us in his image. You know, John 3:16 is great, but John 3:17, it says that he came not into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. See, he then touches upon how sin ruins that fellowship. This chapter concludes with one of the most concrete statements regarding the confession of faith and restoration found in the Bible. In 1 John 1:1, it says, from the beginning, it may refer to the beginning of creation in Genesis 1:1. You know, it's interesting. I've said before, well, the Bible says, in the beginning, what? God created. And, you know, if God does it, well, let me, illustration. You know, if I make myself a sandwich, now I like a nice panini. You know, I like to have ham on there and cheese, maybe some Walla Walla onions. We came through town yesterday. We were coming through, what's that town? Monmouth. And we stopped into that Burgerville. And they had, I saw a little sign, oh, Walla Walla onion rings. By the way, we ordered the three and we got, Lord bless, we got like 9 pieces of these things. It was better than the hamburger. But you know, if I wanted to, that was my hamburger. I could have taken it because I had it. It was mine. I could have just thrown it away. God says in the beginning, he created the heaven and earth. Listen, God can do what he wants with the world. He's got everything in control. We worry about all the things going on in the world. Listen, God has everything set in motion. Years ago, back in the 70s, I don't know, maybe you don't remember this. Some of you might. You know, we're running out of gas. No, there's plenty of gas. Look, if they don't have coal, listen, God supplies every single need we have. Or it may refer to the beginning of Christ's ministry. John goes on to describe from the beginning clearly is Jesus Christ. John says he heard the other apostles have heard him and they saw him both personally as well as publicly. And in fact, handled him, translated they touched. Listen, the apostles got to be with Jesus night and day. And I find it interesting. Now, let me ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hand. Do you understand everything there is in the Word of God? Listen, no. The disciples, they're with Jesus 3.5 years. And sometimes, I'm going to be preaching out of the feeding of the 5,000 in the next hour, which is fitting, bless you, which is fitting because we'll be having food later on. But, you know, the disciples are with him, and they're like, what's he want? What's he asking me to do? I don't understand this at all. Oh, you have little faith. John goes on to describe from the beginning, clearly it's Jesus Christ, touches the word of life. Flip over real quick to John, the book of John, chapter 1. Now, I like to turn in my Bible a lot. I think you should wear a Bible at least every few years. Amen? John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Back to 1 John. So say, in the beginning was the Word. God created it for us to have an association. And I was thinking that song we sang, not for the years, what was that? Not for the years I spent alone, but for eternity. I mean, I wandered around basically for 29 years doing my own thing. Got married at 21. We're all doing our thing. I remember many times on Sunday morning, the kids aren't in here. I remember many times going on Sunday morning, we said, let's go bowling. If I did that now, my grandkids, no, I would not go bowling on Sunday morning. But, you know, there are a lot of things we did because we just didn't know any better. Now that you're a child of God, you know better and you need to go on to it. Verse 2, it says, and the life was manifested. You know, if you read through a lot of Paul's writings, they warn about people that manifest themselves. They tell you what they're going to do. Be careful for man's religion. Man manifests things. When I was pastoring in Lincoln City, I did that for about 15 years, and I was interning at another church about a year ago for about a year. But, you know, I had a guy come to our church one time, and he, this is a long time ago, I had a cassette tape, and he came by. He was an evangelist. And he seemed like a nice guy. Showed up at church, we're talking. But I listened to his CD or his cassette. And he said, I go through the Bible so quick you won't need your Bible. Now I immediately hit eject and I threw it in the garbage can and I never called the guy back and that was the end of that. Be careful when people try to manifest themselves. I mean, there's Jack Van Impe you hear about. He's a little off on some things, but he understands. He knows the Word of God completely. For the life was manifest. John clearly is alluring to the incarnation of the Lord. He refers to Jesus as life. You see, we lose our life for what? For gaining his life that he lost on the cross, or he took his own life for us. He shed his own blood on the cross so that we could have life. And you know, I was mentioning last week in church, we do not understand eternity. We understand, you know, you get to be, we're not going to be over 120 years old because it says that in Genesis. But, you know, you get about 80, 90 years old and you do these, you know, we don't understand eternity, how we can spend eternity. But our soul will either spend eternity in heaven or a soul will spend eternity in hell. He and others had seen his life, and they're telling others about Jesus. John also refers to life as eternal. This is one of the first instances in this, but our life can be eternal, was with the Father and was manifested unto us. See, Jesus is not only life, but Jesus is eternal life. Amen. That's going to be great. Somebody was just saying earlier about, you know, pain and agony. I know pastor's wife, Vicky, she came to church last week, and she was, I think it was her right arm that she couldn't hardly move? Anyway, I found out what happened. She was arm wrestling her 24-year-old daughter. And I think, well, that's kind of stupid. But, you know, I mean, I wouldn't wrestle her either. I'd probably lose. But, you know, you get aches and you get pains and, you know, it gets better over time. And I heard somebody say, when I wake up in the morning, I think it was a Facebook post. When I wake up in the morning, if I don't have aches and pains, I know I'm not alive or something like that. We all know that. But Jesus is life eternal. Jesus was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So John was qualified to write. Verse 3, it says, which we have seen and heard, and we declare unto you that you may have fellowship with us. Think about that. Fellowship with Jesus. Now, you know, I served, I told some people I've been a plumber for, about 41 years. And I belonged to the union or I did, until they kicked me out. That's another story. But anyway, because I went to work non-union when they were still union, it wasn't anything bad. But, you know, I had fellowship with the plumbers and such, and I have fellowship with a lot of people. But I have closer fellowship with my wife, but I have even closer fellowship with Jesus. The song we sang, you know, I mean, he'll take all our burdens away. I don't know if we sang that one. And that first, that verse on that, or that the title on the one, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. When I was, my very first mission trip, I went to the Philippines, and I'm at, I don't know, 30,000 feet, and I don't like to stand here. I'm at 30,000 feet, and I had a little tiny picture, like a yearbook picture of the people we're going to meet from BIMI in Tokyo, and I got started to freak out. And I'm going, what am I going to do? Now, I'm not one of those that go to the door and try to get out. I don't think it would work that way. And, you know, I'm not one of those people. And I remember this verse came upon me, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Who did that? Jesus. He cares for us. Well, we got to get going in here. Verse 3. The word declare means to proclaim that which we have heard. He declared to you, proclaim. They had witnessed and experienced. They were proclaiming to others. The word translated that they had the sense in order that. You see, that what John was proclaiming his message in order that the readers might have fellowship with him in the truth. There are so many things. If you go back to the book of Philippians, there's three times it goes that you can have fellowship with the believers. Listen, that is what we're all about. We need to have, listen, if you watch the news, or, you know, back in November you watch the debates, or you watch the news, I mean, everything now is bad. It's just bad. I remember years ago, like 25 years ago, I would turn on Channel 12 News, and you could see, like, I'd watch the news before I'd go to bed. Now, it's all bad. I mean, the stuff that I had back in, I've said before in preaching, in 1968, okay, I'm old, I'm 63. 1968, I graduated, or I was in eighth grade, I think it was. And we had our worst guy in school, I mean, the hoodlum, okay, was Rod Altegg, and he smoked cigarettes. That's nothing compared to that. I would have never believed in my lifetime that they would legalize marijuana, and they would legalize every kind of drug and every sort of thing that you can imagine under the sun. But, you know, the world is going the opposite way that we are. And listen, you need to stay affixed to the cross. Amen? The greater fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Titus 1:3, it says that it's impossible for God to lie before the foundation of the world. Listen, you need to put your faith in something. I found it interesting, and I'm going to be very careful what I'm going to say, but I read on my phone this morning that they showed that apparently CNN has a copy of the letter that President Obama left for President Trump. You know, and it's such a I read it. It is such a nice, cutesy letter. It made it seem like we're buddies, we're leaving. It did not work out that way. So be careful what you believe and what you read. And listen, God is truth. Amen. You need to base your life on truth. And that is what it's all about. Verse 3, implied is a personal intimacy of friendship and family, that we may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and what with his Son. Think about it. Think of what you got for salvation. Now, look what he got. Nothing. I mean, I know Pastor Goodrick always says he is nothing but a sinner. Listen, you are nothing but a sinner. And God so loved us before the foundation of the world that he gave his life on Calvary. For what? Look what he got, you know. Okay, but I'm not going to go there. But, you know, he didn't get a lot, but he wants to use what he's got. Back in Jeremiah, I think it's Jeremiah 18, the potter and the clay. And Pastor was talking, I think it was on Sunday, and he was saying, you know, how I've got that in my sermon too, but you know how when you're a lump of clay and, you know, you're kind of, he's molding and making, look at, when you've got that little lump sticking out the side of the clay, and I never thought about this, or maybe I heard it on the radio, that Jesus fills that lump of clay. I mean, he feels the same pain that we're going through. That's how much he loves us and cares for us. Verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Do you know it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile? You know, I think as a Christian, you should be happy all the time. Now, you're going to have things come your way? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there are things that come your way. But listen, you need to don't put on a fake smiley face. You know, when you got troubles, what do you need to do? You need to go to the Word of God. And it may be 1 John 1:9, you may need to confess it. It may be something that brought the problem with the fellowship that you need to do with him. Understanding and coming into full fellowship with God opens a whole panorama of joy. If we walk in fellowship with our Lord, he imparts fullness of joy. David lamented joy, losing his losing his joy in Psalm 51. You know, in sin did my mother conceive me. And he goes on. Look at he could have had total. He was a man after God's own heart. He could have had everything he wanted, and yet he sinned. And he realized, you know, God spoke to him. I mean, he never got to see. They never got to name the baby between him and Bathsheba. And yet the servants were afraid to come tell him. I mean, can you imagine? Okay, you go tell David and. You know, as soon as he found out that the baby had died, he was joyous because he realized how close he was to God. He wasn't worried about what man has to do. Listen, that's how we need to walk in life with our joy. Jesus spoke of joy in John 15:11 and some other verses. But your joy may be full. Why? Because in verse 3, we get fellowship with what Jesus has for us. Verse 5, and this is the message. I have so many notes here. And this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. See, God is the source of all light. I was telling some folks here before church that I'm a little claustrophobic. I don't like going crawling under places. I don't. If you have a plumbing job and I like you, and if you called me and you said, well, Pastor Glenn, I need you to crawl over here, I'd say, well, I don't think so. And, you know, there's a lot of times that I'll shine a light underneath there. And you know what happens normally? If there's something in the dark, when you turn the light up, they scatter. The darkness doesn't like the light. The animals underneath your house don't like the light. I've seen things like that. But, you know, and the same thing. Listen, when Jesus comes back, when God the Father comes back, the trump sounds, look at all, everything will be perfect and there'll be no more darkness. That's going to be an exciting time. But God is a source of all light, both spiritual as well as physical. He is not only the creator of light, he is the light himself. Isn't that an amazing thought to think about? I mean, God created light for us. Did you get to see the eclipse? Did you see it? We were in our backyard. The kids were over, the grandkids and our daughter and son-in-law. We're on our deck, and it was the most unusual thing. You know, the next one's in 7 years in Texas, so I'm going to go. Our daughter lives in Texas, daughter and son-in-law. But, you know, when the sun went in front... Moon in front of the sun. There you go. I wasn't paying much attention. But, you know, it was just spectacular. You could take off your glasses for that little bit of time. And of course, we've got a grandson that's I don't know, he's 7 or 8 or 9 or something like that. But he finally got in trouble a couple of times, couldn't even see it. But anyway, he liked to take his glasses off. But he was doing fine on that. But listen, God created that so we could see it. And yet, as magnificent as it was, that's nothing compared to what he's got in store for us. And I was thinking, God forbid. I mean, one of these days we'll be looking down from heaven and going, oh, another eclipse. We saw one of those 2 million years ago, you know, eternity. I can't even think about it. I can't even figure it out. I'm thinking about retiring in a couple of years, and I'm thinking about some of their mission trips. I'm thinking all these things, but God already has everything put in order of what we need. Throughout the Bible, light typifies righteousness and holiness. In contrast, Darkness is symbolic of ignorance, sin, and evil. It's a shame. It is a shame. People say, and you know, was it here? I'll come back to this. Jesus touches upon both principles, light and darkness. Darkness, John 3:19. Light, John 8:12. Then listen, I would rather have light than dark. I'm not a big fan of the dark. We have at our house, even though we have a fenced yard on the back, on the side in the back, we have a light on the side of the house so that nobody wants to enter our house. And so we get back from church on Wednesday nights, and it's usually dark, and I'll kind of, well, we stop. I must sin. We sin on the way home. We stop at Starbucks. And I'll throw it in the garbage can, and I want to make sure that that light comes on, because I want the light on just for a little bit. Let everybody know that there's light, and we're back, or whatever it is. Look, at light is much better than darkness. Anywhere you go, the kids during the eclipse, they spent the night in our backyard, first time ever, the two grandsons, in a tent. Now our backyard is secure, you can't get in and all these things, but they thought they were pretty cool. And I had flashlights, I got everything, and I said, "Do you guys need a flashlight?" "Oh no, we got everything we need." And so they spent the night out there, although it got cold, but they had a good time. Light, verse 5, "That which the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." So when people say, "Well, I just didn't know," you know. People say, "Well, I didn't know it was wrong to do this." Well, if you're a Christian, there's no darkness, so you should not be doing sin. You should not be doing evil. You say, "Well, you know, remember, was it Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it. Was he the one that said it?" Well, the devil didn't make you do it. You did it yourself, and the devil doesn't worry about you when you're not saved. The devil only wants to try to get after you after you're saved, to try to take your testimony, bring down your church. Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship and walk with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I wrote on a mind, not saved. Look, if you say, "Oh yeah, I got it," and yet you are going into the bars and you're doing all the things that we see, quote, the world would do, because, you know, it's amazing. We've got bars in Lincoln City where we live, and we got all the places. And, you know, by the way, have you ever thought most casinos don't have windows? Well, they don't want to let the light in. Interesting. When sin, darkness, is present in our lives, it's not possible to have fellowship with God. Okay, I'm gonna use my wife as an illustration. Wife Ham. Now, when if we ever have problems, of course it's usually her fault. It's not my fault. But no. Will somebody please drive my wife home tonight? No. But no. When we have, you know, when there's something between us, the fellowship is not there. Husband, wife, the friends, it's just not there. And you know, you've got to get that straightened out if you want to have fellowship. That's what 1 John 1:9 is, if we confess our sins. And you know what God is? He doesn't say, "Well, I told you twice, I told you 100 times." You know, my grandson Levi, who he's like a little mini me. I think he wants to be a plumber. I do not know. He's always in my truck. I've got pictures on my phone. He's got pipe. He says, "Papa, can I have this?" "Yeah, you can have that." He doesn't use them as swords or anything, but he just loves that stuff. And the reason is, when when they were small, the kids moved into our house with us. They were between jobs and such. So for, I don't know, how many months did they?
9 months.
And so he was in a playpen type thing. And I'd get home from work and everybody's busy. I'd crawl in the playpen and he'd crawl over me and such. And we played. But anyway, ever since then, he's like little mini me. And so I was out in the garage during the eclipse time. And he goes, "Oh, here you are." You know, it's fun to have fellowship. But there are many times that even though I love him, and I love all the kids, all four of them, I would make Levi, you know, "They've done something wrong. Go in the corner." You say, "Well, how could you do that?" Well, you know, it's the same thing God does. Sometimes God makes us go in the corner a little bit. But at least he's faithful and just. If we truly forgive our sins, he will forgive us our sins. And then we get the fellowship back. Same thing when we get back together. Not that we have any problems, but, you know, we get back together. And the fellowship is there. And that's the way it should be. Because someday, you know, you will spend eternity with the one who died for us. Think about it. I mean, if you're not happy here, I preached one time, and I don't have the whole, it's so long ago, but I said, you know, just because you get on a train in Portland and you go to Seattle, you might be in a different destination, you're still the same person. That's the way it is with your heart. I mean, now, if you're not saved, obviously you won't get to heaven, but we know about that. We deceive, you know, there's nothing worse than deceiving yourselves. I could go around saying, now I think I'm 5'9", I think I'm shrinking a little bit, I might be 5'8", but I could go around telling everybody,
I'm 6'2".
Well, I'm not 6'2", but I could pretend I'm 6'2", but it's not going to do any good. And when somebody is 6'2", I could, you know, that would be deceiving myself. I could say, well, I've got long flowing hair. Well, I'm deceiving myself. I don't hardly have any hair, and I like that. But, it, you know, we claim to have fellowship with God. The sin, look at sin. You know what the middle, think about this. The middle of sin is I. We are sin. And I'm not telling you you're going to go out and do sin today. But listen, it happens all the time. I remember when I was in Bible college, same Bible college that your pastor went to, and Bernard and a couple of others, the Weimers and such. And, you know, I remember when we had our bus route, we were in I think it's I-10, we were coming up there in Jacksonville, Florida. And I remember just motorhome going by us and boats and skidoo things and all these things, all the pleasures and everybody dressed in bathing suits. Look, it's not bad to have a vacation or something, but it's when for sin, it's you look at and then you look again. Look at, don't let sin get engrafted in your life. Every commercial on television shows something luxurious. They show people smoking. Well, actually, you ever noticed they'll show people drinking, but they never drink. They're just holding the bottle or they're holding the can. Now, if they showed them after a night of drinking and they're puking their guts out, or they've lost their well, sometimes they show it where they've got the voice. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying, look, that is stuff that gets our eyes off of God, and it's sin. Anything that takes your eyes off of God is sin. And listen, it could even be as much as, well, you know, I work late, preacher, and I'm tired at night, and I can't read my Bible. Well, that's sin. Look, you need to read your Bible. It will help you. I've heard people say, well, I can't remember anything. Look, just keep, you ever see a dirty sieve? You just keep running water over that sieve, you're cleaning something out, and it'll help you. Listen, I guarantee you, it will help you. As God is holy, he cannot have fellowship with sin. He can't. I went to a job, what's today, Sunday, Friday, a friend called me, and I went and looked at a job. I wasn't going to work much in the afternoon. It's Labor Day weekend. I own the company, so I don't have to work that much. And they said this other guy, and they named another plumber, and I went up there and I said, so are you using John? Well, yeah. Well, the wife said yes, the husband said no. So I figured they were. And I said, well, he's not even a plumber. He hasn't had a plumbing license for 20 years, but he's still going around saying he's a plumber. Be careful. Sin will take it. You know, you do things that are wrong. Coming to Christ, in coming to Christ, we have been granted the authority to become the sons of God. Our children, back in about, oh, I don't know, well, 35 years ago, 33 and 35 years ago, we were able to adopt two girls, and they're our daughters, flesh and blood, but we had to go through the paperwork, we had to go through the lawyers, we had to go through all that stuff. I think we had to go downtown Portland, see Judge somebody, and do all this stuff, and yet we got perfect adoption through the shed blood of Jesus Christ only because of what we did. We confessed our sins, and we asked Jesus to save us from our sins. See, sonship is a permanent relationship. There's only two modes of sonship. One is by birth, and the other is by adoption. He adopted us into his family. Sin does not break our relationship to God. However, it certainly will strain, if not break, our fellowship with God. Verse 6 still says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. A son who disobeys his father still, a son who disobeys his father still is his son. However, his disobedience likely will result in both being unhappy until the matter is resolved and the fellowship will be restored. You know, you think of prodigal son. The father loved the son. The prodigal son ran away until he came to himself and realized that he was a sinner. And yet I preached before also on the other son. The other son was a bum. He had everything he wanted, but he didn't have the love of his father. He didn't love his father, but he had everything his father had for him. Our sin will not revoke our relationship to him as a son. However, it will break our fellowship until such a time the matter is resolved. That's what we get. 1 John 1:9. It says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just." Think about faithful and just when you think of Jesus. He's faithful. He went to the cross. He said, "You know what did he say on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Most of us would be screaming, well, we're not going to be hung on the cross, but maybe blasphemy. I mean, the malefactors hanging with him. You know, the one guy, he was just chewing out Jesus. The other guy said, Father, remember me. He says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It's an exciting thing to say, but it says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It cleanses. I mean, we're not wearing the stain anymore. It's like, you know, I don't know about, you know, gentlemen, maybe ladies do. You know, I have often, well, on the 4th of July, we had a picnic at our house, and then we went down to the church, and Levi was wearing, it's an Eddie Bauer shirt, and I think it had a flag on it. And he, you know, he's a little boy, okay? He's a little boy. Well, he slopped, I think it was ketchup or mayonnaise or something off his hot dog onto his shirt, and he said, oh, now my flag is turning green, and so, or something like that. Maybe it was yellow. But, you know, sometimes you've got to do something. So that, I'm sure it had to go into the washing machine. You understand what I'm saying? It had to be washed. There had to be something applied to it. Bless you. There had to be something applied to it to get that to be clean again. Look at something. When we get dirty, we have to have something applied to us to get it clean. When I came back from I might have mentioned this when I was here the other time, but when I came back from Ethiopia, that trip did not turn out the way I thought it would. I got sick over there, and I had major problems. We had to get back. I didn't have to get evacuated out, but it was tough. And anyway, through all that, and I got back to Oregon, and had to have a couple surgeries and such after that. But I remember after it was all done, I was listening to something on YouTube, some Christian author, I can't remember, but it was a song about the blood. And I remember tears streaming down my eyes because I'd felt so close. I mean, I was within an hour of death when I got to the hospital in Washington, D.C. And I remember I felt like I was so close to God. I wasn't scared. And if God had taken me home, I was more concerned about my wife and the kids and such, not nervous. And I remember that now we see things on TV. It's like, that's a real shame. We see the fires and we see the things in Houston. And you think, man, that's bad. But listen, sin creeps into our life sometimes, and it puts a glaze over it. I know I went in months ago. You know, you're supposed to go to eye exams. Nobody's an eye doctor, are they? Okay, supposed to go for eye exams quite often. Well, they've been like, I don't know, 8 years or something. So my wife says, you know, I need glasses. I can't even tell who I'm with here anymore. So I went in there, you know, and they put those stupid things on there. Which is better? Which is better? Oh, yeah, this one? You know, and you're all of a sudden, huh? That's better. And, you know, that's kind of what sin does sometimes. It gets on our eyes and we go, oh, yeah, that's not too bad. I don't see that guy laying over there. Good Samaritan. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another. Listen, folks, that's what we need. We need the fellowship one with another. And the world will not give it to you. A political party will not give it to you. A union will not give it to you. Listen, your family will not give it to you unless your family is saved individuals. My side of the family is not saved. Most of her side of the family is not saved. Our family is saved. Our kids are saved. Our grandkids are saved. Our son-in-laws are saved. And that's exciting. But that side, you know, the side that's not saved really doesn't want anything to do with us. We're like the outcasts. I mean, I remember when we'd only been married a few years, and they in like August, they'd say, okay, now you're going to come to our house for Christmas Eve. Well, if not, you're the bad person. Well, my other ones want to do it. And they'd say, okay. And I remember many times they'd say, okay, come over or even on Christmas Day, come over at 5 o'clock and you can leave at 7. I mean, it was almost that bad. We'd go to a Chinese restaurant in Gresham and have dinner and such. John describes how walking in the light produces the basis for fellowship with God. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Why do we have fellowship with it? Because of what he did. It was covered in Exodus. Remember the blood on the door, the lintel of the doorpost? He says, when God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Look at, when we get to the judgment seat of Christ and where they're dividing the saints, it's because they're not going to see Glenn Gunderson. They're not going to see me. They're going to see the blood that Jesus shed for my cross. When we were down in California here about a month ago, we were down in Nice. And by the way, I thought it was Nice, California. It's Nice, California. We went to a little Baptist church down there on a Wednesday night, and we had great fellowship because they were the same type of folks as we are. You know, it was nice. It was kind of funny. They said, so why'd you come down here? And we have a WorldMark timeshare. We've had it for years. And we'd never been there, that place. And so they said, so you came down for no reason? Yeah. Yeah, we just wanted to go somewhere. It was very hot, and it was nice. It was a nice drive down into California, but they couldn't believe that you would actually go there for no reason at all to go to a little resort community and then actually come to church on a Wednesday night. But you should be in church on Wednesday night, shouldn't you? You really should. You really should. Well, let's try to get through this because we'll have to get... The requirement for fellowship with the Holy God is having been cleansed through the precious blood of Christ. It's not baptism in any way. Or significance to the cleanses from sin, only the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, baptism shows a picture of salvation, obviously. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, and listen, I have met people that say, I don't consider myself a sinner. My mom, I was witness to her years ago, and she goes, Well, I don't consider myself a sinner. Well, I don't consider myself 6 foot tall, but she is a sinner and I'm not 6 foot tall. To claim we have no sin is merely self-deception. Moreover, John likely is touching upon a more insidious error. The Gnostics of that day taught that sin, or evil in sin, was a matter, and since the soul was not physical, then man therefore is not contaminated by sin. The same exists today in modern theology, liberalism, and is teaching that man is instinctively good, which is wrong. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and then it says he gave his only begotten son, and, but then John 3:17 it says, what's it say? Now I can't think. John 3:16 and 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If man was good, why did God have to come? Why did Jesus Christ have to go to the cross? If we're good, why did Jesus have to go through the pain and agony? Why did he have to drop sweats of blood? Why did he have to do all that? Why did he have to hang on the cross for 3 hours? Why was there total darkness? Why did the graves open up? Because he had to, because we may not see sin, but he knew that we were sin. In Genesis, he wanted after the flood. I mean, it said that God, it repented God that he made man. You know, there are so many things. You know, if it would have been me, I would have just started over. But I'm not God. Make everybody in the likeness of me. No, we don't want to do that either. Back to the First John. We'll try to get this wrapped up here. I didn't know how long I'd have until I went into chapter 2. Verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it says, in the fifth word in there, it says sins. Well, you know, I remember I was raised Catholic, and we'd go about every 6 months, and I'd go to confession, because my parents say you got to go to confession. And I remember this. I'd go in, and I'd kneel at the little footboard thing they have. You open the door, and the priest is in this little dark room. Strange. And you'd say, forgive me, Father, for it's been 6 months. 6 months since my last confession. I yelled at my mom. I hit my sister, or maybe it was vice versa. I can't remember what it was. You know, and they'd say, go outside, say three Our Fathers and a Hail Mary, and light a couple of candles, and they absolve me from my sin. That did nothing. It did nothing. It would be like taking a bath without water. It did nothing, which is kind of fun, but no, it's not fun. But, you know, acknowledge the sin. We had to confess our sins, not just a sin. It's not like, well, let me think, what sin did I forget? Our sins. Acknowledgments and repentance. He's faithful and just to forgive us. And it says in Psalm 103, verse 12, that he's cast our sins as far away as east is from the west. Folks, east and west will never meet. It will never meet. Now, if you did it in a circle, it will meet eventually. But as far as east is from the west, that's a long way and for eternity. Yeah, come on. Touched upon here is not our positional, permanent forgiveness is being saved. Rather, John is touching upon day-to-day forgiveness, which interrupts our fellowship with God. Really, it's a daily thing. Because you say, well, preacher, I haven't sinned this week. Well, you're probably lying, because sin just kind of creeps in. Thoughts creep in. Things we see on TV creeps in. We remember things. You know, I remember things. I will listen to a commercial on TV, and I remember that song. It's in there. And I won't say the name of the song, or I don't know the song, but I won't mention the group or such, but you'll see things, and you go, oh, yeah, it's in there. I can't get it out. You know, I can delete things on my phone. I can delete things on the company phone, but I can't delete it up here. Someday I will delete it when I have a new body. See, snow falls in purity and beauty. However, with passing of time, soot and dust soon make that once pure snow dirty. So is a Christian's experience. When he saves us, he made us whiter than snow. However, the sin of today, living in the body of flesh, soon leaves the wilderness dirty, the whiteness dirty. It needs to be refreshed. That does when he comes in confession and repentance. It should be part of our daily prayer life. Look at verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, well, hello? No, if we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Look, if we say we haven't sinned, chances are that person is not saved. Well, I've never done anything wrong. Look, everybody's done something wrong. Everybody. The man in the White House, the people that have been there, the ones that are everybody in the world. If you've been born, I was telling you, we were with Kayla, that's our youngest granddaughter, and she's like, I don't know, 9 months or something. And, you know, she has thrown a couple fits before. I know, how dare she do that? And I told Michelle, their mom, I said, well, no, her sin nature hasn't come in yet. Well, she didn't believe me on that, but it will. And I probably sinned. If we make him a liar, we're only lying to ourselves. God's calling us, in Romans chapter 14, he calls us a liar. Who are we talking about? We're talking about us, John 1, 1 through 5. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Look, you want somebody in your life that is just. God is a just God. You know, I look at the political things, and regardless what side you're on, but it's not just. It is not just. The tax stuff, it's not just. Severity for penalties, if you're in the political realm, it's not what it is if you're outside the political realm. It's not just. But listen, God is a just God. You know, while I may send my grandson, short time, I've done it for a long time, to the corner, you know, we feel bad, and, you know, sometimes we'll be playing over there, but, you know, it'll be fine. But listen, God is a just God. He does not have the memories like we do. He doesn't have the thoughts that we do. And so when God says, you know, when God said to Korah in the Old Testament, enough is enough, earth opened up, swallowed up, enough was enough. You know, God has that breaking point. I don't know what it is, and I don't want to push it. I want to be on the right side of the fellowship. I don't want to be on the wrong side. Because when God, look at, when God says the trumpet will blow, it makes no difference what Glenn Gunderson thinks or you. When that trumpet blows and it's over, folks, it is over for us, and it's going to be exciting. Look at verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Listen, folks, you as a Christian, you should know the word of God. Now, you may not know everything your pastor knows, or you may. You might. But listen, you need to be studying the word of God. I finished up Lamentations last night in the motel room, and I started Ezekiel, and I thought, oh, man. I realize that I've got to go home. I look at the first chapter. I'm thinking of the first chapter. I'm thinking, and it talks about the wheels and anyway, I don't want to go in there. But I thought, I got to get my books out. I got to take this out, and I got to look at this. I've got study material I use for things. And even though I'm not pastoring, listen, as a Christian, I need to know what this stuff is because it's prophetic, and it's going to happen. Or listen, there's something that's going to be coming in. May come this year. It may come today. You may, you know, Pastor and Lisa may not get on that flight on Tuesday or Wednesday, or while they're in the flight. Listen, it's going to come someday. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the time we had together. I pray you'll bless us, bless our fellowship time, and thank you for these dear folks. We pray you'll bless now in Jesus' name. Amen.